Hi, everyone. Welcome back to OMG Stop. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Krista.
And to kind of follow up to our last episode where Krista and I spoke about being an only child versus growing up with a sibling, we thought we would kind of piggyback off of that and talk about me growing up Jewish versus Krista growing up Catholic, if I'm correct.
Yep, that's correct.
And talking about the differences there and what how that has impacted us and maybe our upbringings and whatnot.
Yes, I feel like religion can be an interesting topic, right? Because everyone has their own views on it. But also some people I know, I dated some guys who are atheists, right? Like some people happen to believe in nothing or choose not to kind of have a certain spiritual belief or kind of force almost to kind of go with. And I think it's great for Jamie and I to bring this up because, you know, we've discussed politics with some of you guys before, and religion is a hot topic in a weird way. You know, it's like everyone's different, of course, about it. I personally feel like I don't carry my religion around with me every day, but it's just, you know, it's very apparent, of course, with my, I think, upbringing and more so when I learned through therapy and just kind of the way I was raised, you know what I mean? Of course, and how it surrounds my family and what was almost expected of us, especially, I think, moving forward into the future, Jamie, right? And like maybe marriage and all those things, how it's viewed differently, of course. And every religion is kind of different kind of set of almost rules or expectations.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Okay, I should start with this, I guess. Maybe like how it first began. I was baptized. I don't know.
I had a baby naming.
Jamie, what do you mean by baby naming? What is this?
So in the Jewish religion, boys get their foreskin snipped off. They get a bris. But if you have a girl, you have what's called a baby naming. And that is basically the official ceremony where you get your Hebrew name. And in the Jewish religion, you are usually named after deceased relatives. So my first name, Jamie, I'm named after my dad's grandfather, whose name was Jack. His Hebrew name is Yaakov, which translates to Jacob in English. So my Hebrew first name is Yaakovah, which is the feminine version. And then my middle name, Rose, is after my mother's grandmother, Rose. So my middle name is Rochel. So my Hebrew name is Yaakovah Rochel. And I have a baby naming certificate that basically says that. It has both my father's Hebrew name, my mother's Hebrew name. My dad is Ephraim in Hebrew, and my mom is Leah in Hebrew, because they're also named after deceased people. So yeah, so we have that. And then even in synagogue, it also translates too, because when you are called up to the Torah during Saturday services for a Haftorah, you're always called up by your Hebrew name, and it's always so it translates in English too. It'd be like Jamie, daughter of Fred, so, or daughter of Lori.
Yeah. It's kind of almost like a secret, not royal Jamie, but it's kind of like, you know, princess of Genovia kind of vibe.
But it's kind of cool because when I went to Hebrew school, there were two other Jamies in my class, and we all had different Hebrew names. We also all had different middle names too, which was kind of funny.
I kind of like that. It's almost like a nice differentiating factor for your identity almost within the community there. It's nice. I mean, the similarity, I guess, for that. So I'm Catholic, you guys, and I guess it's very confusing with how they'll say some people are kind of considered Christian, but like Catholicism's within Christianity. I know I was born and raised Catholic. I was baptized as a baby with my family at church, my parents when I was very young, how they do it. And I believe, I know from my personal experience, when you're, I think it's like after you're freshly born, maybe like a couple weeks after you're born, or every family's kind of different, I guess, when they choose to do it, you know, but usually sub 1 year old, to my knowledge. I may have that wrong. Don't fact check me. I'm not 100% sure. Because I'm Catholic, but I'm not someone who's like super devout, like going to church every day. Like I used to go once a week. I haven't been going anymore. I used to go to like catechism, which is like Catholic school kind of on the side from school. Kind of, Jimmy, maybe different than Hebrew school. I'm not sure. I forgot what was required for that for you guys. But
yeah,
for me,
we would go to Hebrew school twice a week.
We had it just on Sundays, like a big Sunday thing for like Catholic.
Ours was on Sundays and Wednesdays.
Oh, nice. Okay. Interesting. That's cool. Like, yeah, we used to have, I think it was either usually like Sunday morning or Sunday night, kind of like catechism. And so like you go and it's almost like, you know, you learn kind of more about your religion and who you are. And that was, I think, Jamie, I believe I had that, you guys, like through up through elementary school into middle school, I believe up until maybe it was either like, oh, I should know this information, but like, it's just, it's so not so present in my current life. I don't believe it was either end of middle school, guys, or early high school where you get, you know, kind of, you make your confirmation and you go through a lot of required steps. If you're Catholic, I had to do a lot of different community service hours and a lot of different specific hours at church, helping out a lot of times volunteering. I used to spend a lot of time on the holidays with my dad bringing, people can do this in general, but through our church we do. We used to bring like turkey dinners and baskets to those in need around all through our church and organize. So it was all like safe and allocated to the right people. Mm-hmm. We did that also like little baskets for Christmas, which is always nice.
Did you do communion or is that a different denomination?
Nope. That's Jamie also part of it too. I'm not sure like all that you like that. I think, oh, thank you for reminding me, Jamie. Yes. First communion.
My friend had a big communion party. I remember that when I was younger.
See, that's maybe I just like mean we Jamie always had, I guess, you know, like parties, you know, kind of celebrations like with my mom's side of the family for sure. When that happened, you know, I guess, yeah, usually, I mean, I guess the main almost like checkpoints, I feel like, when you're a Catholic is when you're going through the ages and still following the religion, attending, you know, kind of catechism and all those things and going to church. If confirmation, Jamie, I believe that was like first, second grade kind of time for me being Catholic. And then confirmation, like I said, maybe must have been eighth grade. Like I said, these kind of checkpoints.
Yeah, that, you know? I feel like that's when my friends were getting their confirmation. I remember there was like one day at school where like a bunch of kids weren't there because a lot of kids in my school used to go to like the same churches. And so
yeah,
like confirmation ended up like on the same day for a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, also it could be different guys, different states. I have no idea how that works. Maybe I feel like it's all pretty consistent throughout, but I know that, you know, it's kind of like a certain period of time where the confirmation, Jamie, I believe, I think it was kind of just like, you know what? I think I forgot exactly the whole meaning behind it, but it's like you are now, you are still young, but you're kind of like entering into, you know, you're a part of your religion, you're dedicating yourself to your religion, you're going to be continuing to kind of, you know, go to almost like Catholic school like I did on the side, you know, catechism classes to keep learning about your role as a Catholic and also just what your beliefs are and values and kind of the story and how that all came to be. All I think I'd say growing up, like I said, after the confirmation, like first grade or so, up until, like I said, eighth grade, I think was the time I said, or else, no, not freshman year, maybe if high school, the latest, I guess. And that, like I said, is when we kind of were given, unlike not as cool, I feel like, of your name situation, origin with that, with being Jewish, but the fact that we kind of, we could choose actually our name. It was like we could study or pick either like a well-known saint or someone else who had a really positive role in the Catholic community. I chose, it was like St. Madeline, I think, or something. It was purely based on, I think, the name, and I forgot actually some of her awesome duties too, but there was like civil aspects and cool, beautiful parts about each person, what they were known for, right? And you chose maybe what you identified with or someone who you wanted to take on that name. So then technically, I don't use this name though, Jamie, actually at all, but it's kind of like at the time of confirmation, that's what it was kind of, where I was like, I'm Krista, I think my first name, and then either middle name and then the extra name, if it was like Krista Lee Madeline Bora or like Krista Madeline Lee Bora, some sort of strange little input there, either before my middle name, after my first, or after my middle name. It was like a strange thing because I still kept my full name.
You just made me think about something we don't do in Judaism, which you do with baptisms, is we don't have godparents.
That too. Oh my gosh. Jamie, I didn't even think about that. But yes, we – and maybe everyone looks at it differently too. It's like, yep, so that's part of confirmation to me. Thank you. I love that you remember helping me like relive. Like I forgot about this. But yeah.
I was pretty much like the only Jew in my friends group, guys, if you couldn't tell. So well, I'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, but I love that. I feel like I love – like I feel like I've only, you know, kind of learned more about the Jewish – like all the Jewish – all the different ways that, you know, my Jewish friends, like you and a couple of other people that I know who are part of this, like – how they feel and think and the way how you guys were growing up in just different ways, I feel like, compared to how I experience things or what, just the religion and beliefs. And oh, I love all you, all my Jewish friends and people and stuff. And it's just like, everyone's different. I don't look at religion like, oh, different. Like, they're still, people are who they are. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a subset with the family stuff. I know for me, Catholic's more of a family thing because the way that is beyond the names and everything else with the upbringing of the religion is very much kind of like, it's a big thing, Jamie, especially being Catholic, about how you don't have sex until you're married. It's like a whole thing. It's a whole thing. And that actually affects people, I think, more ways than we all realize. Like, you do what you got to do, but it's also, I know that's a whole thing. Pre-college and whatnot, I think, especially growing up Catholic, I thought my views were my family, and that was, like, my only option. Instead of it being, like, there's a big world and a lot of other fantastic religions, Jamie, like yours and many others who, different cultures and whatnot, people just – believe in different things, and that's okay to be aware of this and accept people for being different. And I think sometimes everyone has their own thoughts. It's fine. I like to, you know, think a little more outside of kind of like my own little zone, much as I can, to be honest. I try to. And the fact that, you know, I think sometimes the Catholic religion can be very narrow, which is fine. But like, I just don't like to be too stuck in my own kind of what I know is all I know and all we need to know kind of mindset. It can be a little I know kind of like it keeps it kind of tight.
That's Orthodox Judaism. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want me to begin to that? Because I know, because obviously you're not Orthodox Jew, but you're still Jewish. So it's like different, obviously levels of Catholic, but I don't think we have names for it, I feel like, the way you guys do.
Yeah. So there's a few, I don't want to say denominations. They're almost like levels, I guess, in a way of Judaism. So Reform, there's, growing up on Long Island, you'll see mainly, at least most of my friends went to Reform synagogues. And I have a cousin who was brought up in a Reform synagogue. Reform synagogues are kind of like the most lax, I would say, with the rules. Also, if you have a parent who is not Jewish, a lot of times you can only go to a Reform synagogue because they don't mind that you're, I guess, I don't want to say you're a Havzi, but they don't mind that, like, it's an inter-religion marriage. I grew up in a conservative synagogue, which is kind of in between, like, we're strict, but we're not as strict as the Orthodox, obviously. But mine was also different because I didn't grow up in a big Jewish area. So a lot of my friends in my Hebrew school had dads who weren't Jewish. There was one girl whose mom wasn't Jewish, which was something you usually didn't see, because in Judaism, I think in most religions, the child takes the mother's religion. At least in Judaism, you usually take the mom's religion. That also was not necessarily true for my own dad. My grandmother actually converted to Judaism. So my dad was raised Jewish, even though when my grandfather passed away, she went back to the church, but my dad always practiced Judaism. So I grew up in a conservative synagogue, which was kind of in between, you know, Orthodox and Reform. We're not super strict, but, you know, we kind of are. We try to do things very traditionally. For example, a conservative synagogue has more prayers that are in Hebrew versus English, where if you go to a Reform synagogue, I always find that there's more English prayers than there are Hebrew. And then you have Orthodox, and there's so many different levels of Orthodoxy. There's the ultra-Orthodox, there's Hasidim. They're kind of the same, but not really, I would say. There's modern Orthodox, which, not to get political, as Krista mentioned, but like technically Ivanka Trump and her husband are like modern Orthodox, but I don't believe that. So there's that, but Hasidim is like the ultimate ultra, like you live by the book. If you want to know more about that kind of culture, I really highly recommend you watch the show Unorthodox on Netflix. I think it's on. It came out a while ago. It does a fantastic job, I think, of showing just how, I guess, I think maybe isolating is the right word. But guys, if you go to like parts of Brooklyn, especially, it's like you've traveled to a different world. Everything is in Hebrew. I even feel out of place myself. It's very similar to if you're in Israel and you go to the Kotel in Jerusalem, you know, you've gone from a modern city now into this very old world where it's Orthodox and it's very religious and whatnot. But yeah, so I grew up conservative. I had a baby naming. Both of my parents are Jewish. My mother was not bat mitzvahed because back when she was growing up, that wasn't really a thing. Mostly guys got bar mitzvahed and women didn't have bat mitzvahs. My mom is a Hebrew school dropout and she's fine with that. The synagogue that I went to, my dad actually went to as a kid. It's been in our neighborhood for over 100 years. So I grew up going there. I went to Hebrew school, and Hebrew school was two things. The first 2 years, you're learning how to read and write Hebrew. And then I started going to Hebrew school when I was, I think, 8. So like second, third grade, you start going. And then the last 3 years are kind of about learning more of like the history of Judaism. And then it's like bar and bat mitzvah prep once you get to the very last year, I would say. So yeah, I had a bat mitzvah. It happened to be on my 13th birthday, because the way the Jewish calendar works is it's a lunar calendar. So your birthday could be in, like, my birthday's in May, but Your Hebrew birthday like might be before or after. Also, because women are technically more mature than men, it is okay to get bat mitzvah if you are 12 years old and not 13. Most boys, they have to wait until they're 13 to at least have their 13th birthday to get bar mitzvah. It just so happened my Hebrew birthday and my regular birthday kind of coincided on the same weekend. And most of the time when you get bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, it's actually done during a regular service. And our Sabbath is Friday night into Saturday morning. So we have Friday night services, which are really fun. I actually used to lead them as a kid with two of my friends. That's a more fun service. The Saturday service is just really long. It's kind of boring, not gonna lie. But it's done during a regular Saturday service. It's kind of nerve-wracking because you get what's called a Haftorah portion. And there's a Haftorah every single week. You know, every single Saturday you read from the Torah, which is a book of scriptures. I'm trying to think like the best way to describe it, the Torah. It's not the Bible, but you know, there's five Torahs, and you basically rotate them throughout the whole year.
Okay.
Is that right? That might not be right. I might be, guys, this is how kind of a Jew I am. My dad, if he listens to this, he's going to be like, Jamie, what did you learn in Hebrew school?
Jamie, my meme would say the same thing about me if I mix up some of this stuff, dude.
Oh my God. It's so bad. If my Hebrew school teacher listens to this, he's going to be like, Jamie, what did you not learn anything from my classes? Like, his kids probably know more than I do on it, honestly, at this point. So you get a Haftorah, and that is your, okay, here we go. Torah is the law of God as revealed to Moses and recorded in the first five books of the Hebrew scriptures. I was right. Okay. So you get a Haftorah, and that depends on the time of the year. Now, I got really lucky with my birthday because your Haftorah could be as long as 3 to 4 pages. Mine was a page and a half. It was great.
Oh, wow.
And you have to chant it. It's literally like a long prayer. You're supposed to chant it. And there's these actual notes called trope, Torah trope. My dad knows it. I wasn't learning it properly in Hebrew school. My dad, whose friend Max, may he rest in peace, was a former cantor. Max actually gave me bat mitzvah lessons pretty much 2 weeks before my bat mitzvah. So I learned my Haftorah totally different than I was in Hebrew school. Got it down. It's the most terrifying thing because, you know, my grandmother is there. My grandmother didn't have a bat mitzvah. She grew up as an Orthodox Jew. And I think that also played into a lot of things when I was growing up. She really resented being brought up as an Orthodox Jew, especially as a woman. And my mom said, you know, in her episode, my grandmother was born kind of too early in some ways, and she didn't get to do a lot of things that we can now do as women. My grandfather was not religious, though. I think he was really atheist, to be honest. And I think that stems from the fact that he fought in World War II, and he saw a lot of things, and his sense in God just wasn't there anymore. But yeah, so it was terrifying to do a Haftorah, and all I got, like, your grandmother's watching, the rabbi's watching, your Hebrew school teacher's watching, your dad's watching. My mom didn't know what the hell was going on. And like your friends are there, even though most of my friends were not Jewish, like it was a whole to do, but it was relieving. Unfortunately, most kids, I think after they get bat mitzvah, because there's so much pressure put on you as a child to do this, you don't want to go back to synagogue. You don't see, it's not a happy experience, unfortunately. And I try and tell this to my dad. I think synagogues need to refashion how they look at a bar or bat mitzvah. It should be a very happy time. You're a Jewish adult. If you go to synagogue now, you are now part of what's called the minyan, which is you are part of the congregation. You're counted as a single adult as part of the service now. You can be called up to the Torah and do all these things. But it's very much seen as this pressure of like, you must do this as a Jewish kid. You have to become a Jewish adult and you need to perfect this Haftorah, and your family's watching and you can't disappoint your family. It's a lot of pressure that's put on you. Unfortunately, most kids, once they're done with their bat mitzvah and Hebrew school is done, then they're out. Some synagogues do Hebrew high, which is really fun. I was part of a youth group in high school, which was really nice. That was like a continuation, but I didn't want to go back after that. Like, my dad would have to bribe me to go to synagogue on Saturdays if they needed someone, like if they needed an extra person, he would bribe me, and my mom would go and drop me off because he would already be there. My mom would drop me off, and I'd be like, all right. And I had to, like, you know, get dressed up. I got to get my tallis, which is the prayer shawl you wear. I have a pink one though. Of course I do. Yeah, but I didn't want to be there because I was like, this is long. It's boring. Like I just don't want to sit through. Like, it's not fun. Friday night services are kind of fun because you sing a lot. A lot of, like, the prayers are a little more upbeat and it's a little bit easier to interpret the things there. But yeah, that was very long-winded. But yes, that is my experience growing up Jewish. My dad is very religious. My dad actually became more religious as I was being bat mitzvahed. My mother is not, but there are still a lot of Jewish values, as Krista said, with being Catholic, that my parents instill in me. They really do want me to marry someone who is Jewish. That's something that they've made very, very clear. Because if I don't, it's might make things a little more complicated. They are very against tattoos. They make comments about people's tattoos all the time. And that was a big thing in Judaism. If you got a tattoo, you couldn't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. That's kind of not a thing anymore. And especially now after the Holocaust, you know, there were Jews who were forced to be tattooed. So that's like a thing that's a big thing in Judaism. Like if you have a tattoo, it's like, whoa.
I never knew that, Jamie. Well, because I know obviously, you know, when it comes to like similar but different like piercings and tattoos, kind of like when being Catholic, it just depends again on kind of the generation too. I know like my grandmother very much kind of against piercings and tattoos. And I think part of that's kind of like God created your body this way. Why would you destroy it almost or put more things into it?
Correct. So, my parents see it as like you're defacing your body.
Yeah. No, my parents kind of similar, but also it's like, yeah, we're also all of our own people. And I still like, I understand perspective, but also like, yo, I have a little bit of ink. I was going to get more before I left the city and I'm glad I didn't. I'm good with one and done. But it's also you know what I mean? Everyone's choice is different, but that too, I know it's tricky when it comes to religion for families too, because I've dealt with that being Catholic, especially because it's very much, it's very critical of other people who almost, Jamie, I'm not sure if it's similar for Judaism, kind of like go a little bit away from the lines. You know what I mean? Kind of like maybe go a little bit outside the main, the truest kind of like values of the religion and how,
right,
how you're meant to be. Like you said about marriage too. And I know like I think my family, they're not so much specific about the religion, but especially my grandmother wants me to marry someone, of course, who believes in God. You know what I mean? In some capacity, but it's like, it's just, it depends. Everyone has their own value on it. I personally don't have it be a non-negotiable for me personally. I don't bring up religion a lot in relationships because it's a part of me, but it's also like not something that identifies me in a major way, but it definitely affects the person I am. Yeah. So it probably depends on, you know, the level of relationship I have with the person, I guess, too, the nature of it.
Yeah. And there's also just certain cultural things too, as a Jew, that we do. And there's certain jokes and things that happen, you know, just some of our culture, like especially with holidays, you know, Passover, and there's certain traditions too. And I think there's just like, it's something you have, and it's like a commonality. I hate to say it. I think because there's so much less of us in the world, you know, that itself is just a connection when you meet someone. You know, when I went to Israel on birthright, and I'm not going to talk about Israel on this as a disclaimer, because that's a whole other set of politics I don't want to get into. But I have gone on birthright. I went on birthright in 2012, and it was the first time I was of the majority. I was maybe one of like, I don't know, 15 Jews in my high school. And I always felt like I was very, very much like out of place because of that. And no one really understood me. I do expect my friends to be allies to Jewish people, especially if I am their friend. I will say that on here. But I didn't really, like, they just never understood my holidays. But I also, yeah, to be honest, Krista, like my friends who were Catholic and Christian, like I don't really know much about the religions.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me though. So like you know, I always feel like I mix up the religions for you guys. I always check in with you and then us and my other really close friends who's also Jewish because, like you said, different levels kind of Judaism too you practice. So it's a little different with.
And also, guys, don't tell people that they look Jewish because you don't know at number one. And number two, there are Jews of every color, race, face, hair. Like, I'm telling you, you don't even know. Like, one of my favorite Jewish influencers that I follow is a Black lesbian rabbi named Rabbi Sandra. And I've been on many web seminars with her, and people can't believe that she is Black and Jewish. And she's like, well, why not? Why can't I be Black and Jewish? What's the problem? So Yeah. So don't ask someone if they, you know, why don't you look Jewish or why do you look Jewish? It's so stupid. And it's deep rooted in things that were done during the Holocaust and other anti-Semitic things. So yeah, just putting that out there. And I think growing up, I was very oversensitive about being Jewish too, because of my environment.
Do you oversensitive mean like you felt like you weren't supposed to be around the people that you were around because of it?
Like, kids would say to me, like, thank you for Yom Kippur, because we always got off for Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah. And I'd be like,
what?
Why? What the hell? Like, what the fuck? Sometimes I'd be like, thanks for Christmas.
But that's so weird. I mean,
I grew up with a lot of ignorant people. I'll just say that.
But also, like, I don't know. Everyone's different. But it's like, I mean, I feel like also it depends, right? Because, I mean, yes, I feel like, okay, here's the thing, guys. Christmas is affiliated with being Catholic. But how many people do you know celebrate Christmas and have no connection to being Catholic at all?
Right. Everyone.
A separate thing too. But also everyone's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, I don't take that personally, but I know some people I know get upset about that. But I kind of get like, it just depends on the person, I guess. I don't know. Some people I feel like to me, like you said too, not like abuse it, but they kind of, you know, almost use it against it in a weird way. Like the holiday thing, that is so, I don't know. That is very strange.
I mean, grew up with kids who were also Muslim. I grew up with kids who were from interfaith families. Like some kids were half Jewish, some weren't. And I actually went to church a few times with one of my friends, and her, when I would sleep over her house, her mom asked my parents if it was okay. My parents said, if anything, please bring her to church. We would love for Jamie to experience what other religions are outside of Judaism.
Oh my God, I love that so much. That's so great, Jamie. Yeah. I literally told you, I feel like I only knew of, maybe I had more of you, but I told you, obviously where I grew up in Burlington, Vermont, I only knew one Jewish person growing up. That's because I went to her bat mitzvah. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I just want to make sure I don't have that wrong.
Bars for boys, bats for girls.
Bats for KS. I always think it's the opposite for whatever reason, but it shouldn't be. Okay. Bat mitzvah. And that was, that I told you was someone that I knew vaguely through school. We were kind of in a similar friend group, and that was the first experience I had of that. And that was definitely eye-opening too, but I didn't realize how, I mean, it was not that I think I grew up with a lot of people who were Catholic. Maybe they were Catholic / all the same, but also it's not like we had a lot of diversity in my school, but I didn't know people's in-depth religion. Like I had a lot of Vietnamese friends in school. And we had, Jimmy, a couple people with Muslim religion in my high school too, but I feel like I didn't know them very well, so I'm not sure how, you know, how – I know from some people, I think I said, also Bosnian, how they had different, I know, kind of dietary needs too. With certain things, I guess, like they couldn't eat. I remember some of my friends kind of mentioning that back in the day that I grew up with, like through all the school levels, elementary, middle, high school kind of thing too, so – I don't know. It's very interesting, too. I think it depends also on, yeah, the community of what the odds are of who's around you, kind of, and is it dominantly one religion? Is it whatnot? Is it spread out? And maybe also we're all ignorant to it because we only know kind of what we're brought up with and how our family celebrates it, I feel like, for the most part, too, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I used to invite friends over for Passover, like friends who weren't, like one of my friend Kim used to come over for Passover, and her mom was like, no, please invite her. Like, I want her to experience that. And so that was like, kind of fun.
I love that, Jamie. I told you we did a couple. Yeah. I told you we did a Seder meal a couple of times at church for whatever reason. Part of catechism, we would celebrate Seder oftentimes.
Interesting.
Maybe if like I told you, or like Liat that a couple of times. I'm not kidding. And maybe it was Liat who was like, really? And I was like, yeah. I mean, even though yes, I was raised Catholic, and yeah, I was going to catechism. I'm saying classes for a course up until confirmation. The fact that not like it was oftentimes brought into conversation or in our classes or learnings and stuff, but I know the fact that a lot of times I feel like Judaism was abstractly talked about and somehow intertwined, I feel like, in strange ways because they're connected in certain ways.
Yeah,
I think,
no, probably, they are.
You know, in a lot of ways. I think that's kind of like maybe that's how I feel like I knew about it more so until I, you know, I told you, especially when I went to the city, until I went to FIT, I didn't know many Jewish close friends of mine until, you know, I met Jimmy, you and many others, like I said, just in New York, it's so prevalent too. So I wasn't familiar with that with my previous upbringing, just like being around so many. And so I learned a lot more that way.
A lot of other Jewish kids until I went to FIT as well. Cause the kids who were Jewish too in my high school were kids I like kind of grew up with from like Hebrew school. Like there were these two girls who were good friends, and I knew them actually like from elementary school up through Hebrew school. There were some boys that were Jewish. There were also, when I went to camp, I met a few other Jewish kids, but still it was very small just because the towns we lived in like weren't really heavily populated. And actually one of them ended up going to a Jewish sleepaway camp, which was interesting. But yeah, most of the kids I feel like I grew up with were Catholic or Christian or Lutheran. There were a lot of kids who were Lutheran in my school. I remember people mentioning that. But
Protestant, Jamie, was – I know Protestant, I feel like it's kind of a different religion. I feel like I always mix up because people who are – like, they're not Catholic, but yet there's some – I know similar crossover people I think would mention, like, oh, but I'm Protestant, that I know I went to school with me growing up.
Yeah.
But I know their beliefs are a little bit separate. I know what they celebrate is a little bit different, I think, or maybe just kind of like what their – almost like their – kind of like their rituals are a little bit different, I feel like, too, for their religion.
Yeah. But – yeah, I'm very proud to be Jewish. I have no intentions of really – look, every religion's got its downsides. I get it. And, you know, there's been a lot of anti-Semitism in the last few years. I tell my dad this. I'm like, you know, we always got to fight for ourselves because no one likes us, unfortunately, as history depicts. So we always have to – and every holiday we have is – we fought and we won. Like, we came out of it. Like, that's literally every holiday, except for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not that. Yom Kippur is like, y'all got to repent your sins now for all the bad you've done. It's the new year, got to cleanse. But every holiday is like, we fought and we won. Like, we tried every holiday. And every holiday, okay, I have a question about this, Krista.
That's terrible, Jimmy. I just hate that you feel that way. I know it's true. I know, like, there's just, I hate just, like, in general, the fact that I feel like the world publicly has had a lot of negative against Jews, and I don't understand why, and it makes me so upset, and I don't get it.
Guess who writes your Christmas songs? Guess who has written most of your Christmas songs? Jews. You can look it up.
Is that what you were going to tell me? Because I believe that. No, oh my God.
I wanted to ask you, because in Judaism, food is a big deal. Food, yep. Every holiday is surrounded by food. Is that also a thing with you guys, or what are your holidays more so surrounded, like around or have a common?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's less about, I know for sure. I know with how I feel like for Judaism is very specific about certain foods and things. And I feel like for, with me, especially in how I grew up, the same with my family being Catholic and such, definitely not like a food thing. However, Jamie, we have a thing called Lent. So, yes. You know, that's like a whole thing where I believe up until Easter, supposed to be kind of before Christ rose from the dead kind of thing, and kind of the rebirth and all these things, like rejoice is a big celebration at Easter. It's a big time for church, of course, too, and a lot of days leading up to it too. There's a couple of different things, like I believe it's Ash Wednesday,
yep.
And it's like Holy Friday, a couple of different like sort of names to a lot of the different days. My grandmother I know go like every day. Good Friday, thank you. Yep. I'm sorry. I know these things, guys. It's not top of mind right now, so I apologize.
I know these things because like you always know when it's Good Friday or Ash Wednesday in New
calendar.
York because you always see people with the ash on their foreheads, or people are giving out the, I don't know what they're called.
The host?
Yeah. It almost looks like they're made of like a plant and they hand it out. That's how I know.
Yeah. Palms. Palm Sunday. Yes. Sunday. Yes.
So that's
yes.
How I always know like what's going on. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, that's awesome though. Like I said, I mean, dude, like you're so good. I mean, basically, guys, the thing is, for so long, there's also a thing called Easter Vigil, too, right before I've gone to a thing with my family maybe once or twice, like a late night kind of mass. I believe it's like the night before Easter. Kind of, it's like, I always liked it. I thought it was pretty fun because it was like, dark. It was dark in the church, and you like, everyone had like a little light carrying with them. It's like it's kind of like a longer mass ceremony. You know what I mean? It's kind of a very special kind of thing besides Christmas, where Easter's a big deal. And with the Lent thing, Jamie, I think the key is what I was saying about the food thing. The only, I guess, maybe kind of comparison is that during Lent for Catholics is we technically can't eat meat on Fridays during Lent, which I personally don't have a big problem with now. Growing up, it was very difficult. I feel like because it was like, oh my gosh, Friday night was like, you know, McDonald's or Al's or like junk food or like little kind of things, which is not at all my life at all anymore. And it hasn't been for at least 20 years, maybe 15, but which is fine if you do that now, do what you got to do. But like, that's not my life balance. I don't feel good doing it, but my family also, we've like changed our dietary situation in general, most of us. But that was a big thing I know for a while where we always had, you know, we usually would have like fish on Fridays kind of thing during Lent, or like fish sticks, even though maybe it's like not like legit fish. I like more fish now than I used to. My sister is very not such a big fish fan, but we've all kind of changed over the years. This one I'm talking was back in high school. You know what I mean? So basically during that time during Lent is like, I think you're supposed to be a little more reflective inside and kind of think about, you know, Jimmy, kind of like a sin thing too, because we have, oh my gosh, I need to know these terms, and I know these, it's not on top of my brain. When we go to church, this happens, guys, oftentimes before Easter. You can do it any time of the year, but I know we used to, especially when I was going to catechism, and we'd go and have, like, like not repentance, but it's like you almost like you, it's like a certain term when you kind of talk to the priest.
Confession.
Confession. Thank you. Oh my
God.
I
know all this, Crystal.
Jamie. Bye, guys. I'm done. Thank you for listening to our show. Just kidding. You guys, my brain, I'm sleep deprived and I'm behind in a lot of parts of my life right now, so I apologize. Jamie, yes, thank you. Confession. Jamie, we would have I know, this is, don't you love it, guys? Like, who actually is a Catholic here? I'm just kidding. Jamie, you're Jewish, but you know everything. Anyways, I can't. Okay. But yes, Jamie, we would have confirmation, I feel like, and confession like that. But oftentimes, I think take place kind of like, again, when I was attending kind of Catholic classes and stuff on Sunday nights, we would have, like I said, confession like that, where you basically talk to the priest about maybe, you know, say you repent your sins. The whole intention is basically to kind of be given almost like, how do you kind of heal yourself? And you either say a couple things, we have like certain prayers like Hail Marys, Our Fathers, certain things you kind of say that maybe you'd be given almost like an assignment. I think it's called like penitence. Or some repentance kind of thing the term is. And then you like oftentimes you get back, you get out of the kind of like the sacred room you are with the priest, you kind of go back into the pews in church and you kind of just like sit, do your prayers, whatever the priest had asked you to do to forgive you, ask God for forgiveness from your sins that you just spoke about. That's a huge thing, Jamie, too. And I'm pretty sure that happens up until Easter. I think it's all part of like a whole kind of, you know, it's almost to me, I feel like different than how you guys said Passover is considered, because remember we always say they feel like they go hand in hand in terms of like a mass marketing sense, but they're very different.
Yeah, Passover is the Israelites escaping Egypt. This, you know, they were slaves in Egypt, and then we 10 commandments were found and all the plagues happened, and you know, what's his face, god, this is awful, was it Moses who realized? Guys, you know what's a great episode to watch about Passover? The Rugrats Passover episode is great. It's just a great job of explaining everything.
I should watch that again, because remember I watched that, Jimmy, forever ago, but I didn't realize like all the intel in it. And I
yeah,
trust you.
No, it actually does a pretty good job of explaining Passover. Passover is not like, it's not the happiest of holidays, you know, it's a different yep. story. And we read from a Haggadah, which basically tells the story, and Seder in Hebrew means order. So in everything has an order to it in the Passover Seder. Mm-hmm. Traditional Seders are extremely long. You also drink 4 glasses of wine.
Oh, we didn't have that at ours. Again, we were, you know, kind of like, I mean, also, you know, but even still, but Catholics, they always have, you know, wine obviously at church, but.
Yeah. So, but a traditional Seder, like my mom says when she was a kid, her grandfather would do like the whole thing and she'd be sitting there like, I'm starving. This is boring. I hate this. Like, get me out of here. Like, so my version. So we just do Seder like with him, my parents. My parents did a virtual Seder with their friends this year. We used to do one at my synagogue, which was kind of nice. We would do like a really big one. But yes, everything has order to it. And yeah, it's about like, yeah. It's kind of similar, I guess, in some ways. But I mean, no one's, well, yeah, because your firstborn dies, and didn't the Pharaoh's firstborn son die during this? Again, guys, I'm like Chris right now. Like,
You remember a lot of the history more than I do. Like, a lot of the stories I'm saying and things that I learned, basically, I feel like, Jimmy, you're saying kind of how you had to study a lot. You're saying before you,
But there's certain holidays that happen in Judaism, and I get them mixed up, like, because I don't really remember. There's so many little holidays that happen. And I'm like, is this the Jewish Arbor Day? One of them's the Jewish Arbor Day. Is it this one? No, not this one. Okay. What's that one again? Like, I don't really remember. Like, even the holiday Sukkot, I just remember the holidays, like Hanukkah. I'm pretty sure I was told that Hanukkah is like based off of Sukkot in some ways.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't remember like much about Sukkot. I just know that you go in, there's, you build essentially like a hut in your backyard and you eat all of your meals there and you're supposed to see the stars and everything. But I couldn't tell you what it's about. I don't remember.
That's kind of pretty though. Nice, Jamie.
Yeah.
I think Jamie also was true. I think, you know, obviously guys, apparent from mine and Jamie's knowledge, but no, Jamie has more knowledge than me. But I'm saying the fact that it's also within each religion, Jamie, I feel like you mentioned before about the different kind of categories almost and like denominations within it. Everyone has their own, you know, level of dedication to it, I think, for sure. Yeah. A, within your family, A, also as an individual, but also I think over time too, people's beliefs change. I think in general, I mean, I know it was like a side thing, but I'm going to throw it in because I think it's applicable. The fact that I know some close people in my life who they, you know, they've been Catholic all their life. They've done their Catholic, maybe they're raised that way, and they've chosen to continue on and believe in God and have all these different, you know, kind of values and what they're going to continue to do as life and, you know, believe in the good and others and all these things. But yet they've had some unfortunate events happen in their life where they've lost trust in God and they've totally just separated themselves. And I personally am also part of that club where, yeah. You know, I mean, beyond going to New York City and like religion has never been kind of like the number one priority in my life. It's kind of just like, you know, it's a part of me, but it's more so my family, I feel like, connection, and obviously more apparent when it comes to holidays and not even just like, oh, what's the benefit? But it's like, you know, I almost feel like you forget about it when you just go through life and right. You get caught up in the chaos and less focus on it. But faith is very important. There's one time I was really intense about it and like really kind of really, really intrigued by it, really fascinated by it. But it's just, I haven't been paying attention to that for a very long time. And I used to go to church weekly and I haven't been anymore. It's just, you know, it's different, I think. Also, there's a lot of different ways of how you, you know, how you carry on with your religion too. I mean, everyone, like I said, some people I know pray before they go to bed. Some people do that now. Or
yeah.
I used to like honestly pray in the shower, like no joke, for the longest time. Like it's like a thing, just like a part of my routine. You know what I mean? Like growing up, and that was a key thing for me for a while, my beliefs. But, you know, life takes over. And I think just I've kind of maybe due to a series of life events and just things that have happened in my life or to me or affected by me or just in the result of life. And I've kind of just separated and kind of just like, I don't put a lot, I feel like, effort or thought into that sometimes. Maybe, and I really should. I just don't maybe as much.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's, you know, it's the same thing in Judaism. And also too, like each synagogue is different in how they do services. Like, and there's also different, I forgot about this too, but depending on what region you're from, like most European Jews are Ashkenazi Jews, but if you're from more of like a Mediterranean area, you might be a Sephardic Jew, and those alone have like different traditions and stuff. But you made me think about how like right before the pandemic, my dad would come into the city and there's a central synagogue here, or not central synagogue, I'm sorry, there's a central synagogue, Temple Beth El, I believe is where we used to go on the Upper East Side. And my dad would come in and we would go, they would sometimes do these themed services. But, and then one time we went and like, they ended up like postponing it, but we went to services anyway. But each synagogue even conducts services differently and does like prayers to different tunes, or maybe structures their service a little bit different. It does end up being all the same in the end, but what my synagogue does could be totally different from what another synagogue does, even though we're both conservative synagogues.
That's interesting, Jamie, too. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but I'm not religious either.
Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
I'm saying I'm not as really, I'm like, you know, even growing up, I was kind of like, I tried to be like, definitely when I came back from Birthright, I was like, okay, maybe I should be a bit better. And then I kind of threw that out the window.
Well, I think also the thing is, I think a side note, I mean, it's like pandemic kind of pre and post, but I always especially loved Christmas at church because at my church, I think most Catholic churches do this, but they always kind of made a lot more fun at Christmas beyond the decorations, but they'll have the songs they would sing. They used to have kind of like a whole, I mean, not like a band or a whole choir, like Sister Act style. I wish it was like that, but it's a different kind of, I know, denomination is like, you know what I mean? That much more kind of like, it's like a big, I think like a gospel church is like that, which is amazing and beautiful. And I've never been a part of that, but I think that's so special. But I feel like, I mean, we used to have really good kind of like, I know my grandmother's church, they have a big choir there that also has declined over the years because of, I think, people's priorities, life and timing, and also hello pandemic, this has to totally shift the game. And let me tell you, everyone's reason to go to, you know, church or wherever their center, I guess, of worship is obviously changes over time. But the pandemic, though, it's very different because the fact that we don't have, you know, I know my grandmother, I don't think they have live music at all anymore. Like they have to have church without music is like, I don't know. Everyone's different, but I love music, especially at church. Kind of makes, you know, the whole experience a little more enjoyable and less, you know, kind of just like information and prayer and kind of following. It just depends kind of what lights you up a little bit inside. And I always enjoyed that part of church. And it was definitely different at Christmas this year, unfortunately, because of that. They couldn't have the same people singing and kind of like, you said, like a children's pageant, Jamie, too, at Christmas. You know what I mean? They kind of act out like just out the night before Christmas and then just the whole story of everything. It's just, it used to be so beautiful.
Yeah, the fact that Hanukkah lighting, but Hanukkah's not like, Hanukkah's like a commercial holiday, I think, for us. I hate to say it.
But you always say that, Jackson. Like, that's the one I feel like everyone knows about, like Gen Pop knows about for Judaism. And it's like, it's so much more beyond Hanukkah. Well,
because it happens around Christmas.
That's why. True.
That's why.
It's commercialized.
Yeah, like that's why. But yeah. And Hanukkah was always like the most fun for us in Hebrew school because, you know, we used to do like games and get gelt, and you know, the Hanukkah lighting was fun because we would have donuts, and like everyone's like people would bring like extended family, because not every synagogue would do like, or some synagogues would do a lighting maybe like the first night, or and another synagogue would do like the second night, so people would bring like their extended families to come. Like I think my grandparents came one year to mine just for funsies. But yeah, that was always fun. And I was telling Krista that for Christmas, I actually used to go to a family friend's house. And so the last 2 years we haven't done it just because my friend whose mom hosts it, like my friend got married. And then this year with the pandemic, we obviously couldn't do it, but it was never like a religious celebration. It was more of just like a get together for people. Another Jewish family would come, and like her husband is religious, but my friend and her mom like really aren't. It was just more of like a get together. So yeah, but you can do it. My dad doesn't go synagogue hopping virtually now. He does that. He attends services at this synagogue in California. He's like, if you move to LA, we got to go to the, I want to check out this synagogue. And I'm like, okay, Dad, sure, we will do that. We'll go to a service, no problem.
I love that so much.
That's something you can do too. Like maybe, you know, you can discover some other churches and hop on to their services.
I love that. Well, that's true. I know, because like the thing is, Jamie, right now I know, like my parents have done this a couple times, but my grandmother especially, you know, like during pandemic and also when it gets to the winter and it's so cold for her to walk to church or drive to church. Sorry, it's like it's too dangerous, or just she wants to stay safe and cold, and she's older and she's trying to, you know, take care of herself and doesn't really want to enter the frozen world of Vermont in the winter. Sometimes she'll watch church on TV, because a lot of different, to me, she actually watches The Passionist Priest, something like that. I think it's like in New York City where it's taken place, and I'm like, that man, it's so funny. I can't. It's hilarious. It's awesome. It's just like great how she'll watch that part on TV. I could wherever they film out of. You know what I mean? So they also have stuff online. I think someone else too, we know, like, will attend services online. There's a lot of different ways, guys, now too, depending on what your beliefs are and what you want to be a part of, especially in this time regardless. I mean, like I said, I've been to church, I said during this time, not a ton, but I'm saying when I was there for the holidays, just it's a bummer because it's different. My parents for a while were watching it on TV because they weren't sure about how they felt going in person to be inside, but they have everyone spread out, and our church unfortunately doesn't get that full anymore. In general,
the same way.
You know what I mean, Jane? Which is tough. I know they struggle too in their own kind. They're still they're not a business, but they're a business. You know what I mean, Jamie? So it's like they still, you know,
religion is a business, people. Yeah, I hate to say it. It is.
That's the thing. It is.
Yeah, we talk. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, my synagogue's the same way.
Yeah, which is tough. I know my mom always worries about that too, because like I said, our church used to have a big choir and they can't have all that anymore. And it's just like, she worries about, you know, not like it was their job, but these people, you know, who were really good at it and had great voices she loved, and now they're not there. You know, it obviously contributes to her experience there. It wasn't why she goes at all, but it was like, you know, even still, even if you're like devoted to your religion for years and years and years, it's still nice to have that kind of like happy uplift.
Yeah. I mean, I was part of a baby boom, so we had a pretty big Hebrew school, but we don't have that right now at my synagogue. And also, like, I hate to say it, but some members have died because they were old.
Oh, for sure. Anyone, Jamie.
Or we've had people just move out of the area too. But yeah, it is, it's really small. Like, my dad worries definitely, you know, if something happens.
My grandmother's always constantly saying how, you know, people don't go to church anymore. People don't, you know, aren't, I'm sure maybe have the same for your family with, you know, going to synagogue too.
Well, synagogue dues are like, to be a member at a, like Chris was saying, it's a business. Like, synagogues are expensive to be a part of.
Really?
Dues are expensive.
Interesting. Cause, I mean, we don't have that at church, but we obviously, you know, like every church, every mass, you know, like the collection, well, they'll collect money. I'm saying,
you have to pay to be a member at a synagogue.
Very interesting. Gotcha. Maybe I knew that vaguely before, but I was not.
You have to pay to go to services, but if you want to be a member and send your child to Hebrew school and things,
oh, that's very interesting. Okay.
That's a moneymaker.
I'm pretty sure it was free. We went to catechism, like to make confirmation, you know, those things. Like I said, it required us a lot of, I'm saying, time and effort. I'm saying, like I told you, we had to, you know, meet with the priest and kind of interview questions and kind of, you know, like I said, not be kind of quizzed on our knowledge, but kind of, you know, make sure we understood what we were doing, going through, and we had learned kind of thing too before we went through with it.
Yeah. I guess I have one last question for you. Maybe this is just kind of like a New York thing, but a lot of kids, when I was going to school, like once we hit high school, some kids actually left the public school system to go to the Catholic school system for high school. Do people do that where you're from too?
That's a thing, Jamie. Yep. It's actually a fun fact. Oh, wait, I love that you brought it up because I didn't think about this even being like a fun little thing to share. Yes, Jamie, actually, so I went to a public high school. like casual, nothing crazy, no prereq required or any money and payment instead for dues. However, my old daycares, her two daughters, Jamie, and also I knew from people who I became confirmed with, they, and also other kids I went to school a little bit that then changed for high school. They went to a high school instead of where I went, Burlington High School. They, you know, whatever other kind of city or town they were closest to, they went to somewhere called Rice Memorial High School. And they, Jamie, had uniforms. You pay to go there. It's like, it's a big deal. And thing is, everyone does their own thing, but like, yo, people, like, through the grapevine, my family and parents talk about this all the time. They had to pay Jamie, I think, like, not college tuition, but it was up there.
Practically, yeah. I was just curious because that was like a very common thing where I'm from. Yeah. I mean, and kids in my camp, the same thing too. Like, a lot of them ended up going to Catholic high school too.
Yeah. Jamie, because no, I mean, it's like, I mean, I think it's like, it's almost like, not like it's an option I talked about, but I mean, it depends. You know what I mean? My mom growing up had gone to Catholic school for a bit and everything. I was like at the church close to where she had lived. And then she went to, I think, a public high school after, because I think whatever, you know, she was one of six kids, like, hello money slash just like, you know, how, whatever her family at the time, it worked out.
I had a friend who did the opposite too. Well, he went to a yeshiva, which is basically private Jewish school. And then the school ended up closing. So he ended up going to public high school too. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about if you guys had that too.
So it's called yeshiva. It's private Jewish schools in New York City are a bit of a controversy because of their standards. And so like them in the Department of Education, there's like a few things they don't really align on. There was a school called Solomon Schechter on Long Island. And there was one in Suffolk County in Commack, actually, which they ended up closing. I think it was just really small. There's also the Hebrew Academy, which unfortunately, I think it was the Hebrew Academy or North Shore Academy, I think. But one of them, unfortunately, was cyber hacked recently.
Oh my gosh.
Their website got hacked and people were putting up anti-Semitic things.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there are private Jewish schools that kids go to. Yep.
Damn. But that's just like, I think that's really the crazy difference. I guess one of the main things that I think, I feel like that I noticed about the religion, I mean, about for you, I'm saying with, for Judaism, you guys, I don't know. I know everyone obviously know will be like, you know, they'll shit on things that are not themselves or things that are not their beliefs, whatever. Jamie, I feel like in my personal experience, because I've always been Catholic in my life, I never felt like personally attacked because of my religion. I feel like it doesn't come into play. Mm. It makes me so, so outraged. And I told you, like, so confused, obviously, because there shouldn't be a reason why any religion should be attacked when someone has their own beliefs. Like, why would that have to do with you or affect, especially when it comes into politics or it comes into any kind of like company structure or how businesses portray business? I just don't understand. There's no logistics or like emotionally. I just don't understand. Like, we're all, maybe it's my own upbringing, but the fact that in religion and Catholicism, like, you're meant to be like who you are and we're all supposed to love each other. That's how we're brought up too. And I don't know why I'm saying so. Like, there's no reason, guys, to attack a different religion. You can believe different things. Yes. And I think, Jamie, actually, I can bring it up now. There was something, I'm not sure if I sent you the other day, one of the many guys' social media things, but someone had shared, two people actually had shared on their Instagram stories, one random, I think, fellow FIT friend that I forgot I followed. And then someone else too, I think, kind of related into some of the business I operate now, who had shared, Jamie, similar things about like, about people, something about just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you can't be friends, and it's because, or you can't love them, or something like that, about how just because you believe the same thing doesn't mean you have to get along, or something like that. You know what I mean? Where it was, and I thought that struck a big chord, but especially for that, like, I can't even, I just don't understand like why. And I'm sorry you've had to experience that, you know what I mean, because I feel like there's so much
I've gotten lucky. Like, I think because when I was in school, I was a snitch. I will tell you, I was a snitch. I cared only about me when I was in school. I didn't care about anyone else. And no, I was going to do everything to better me. And kids knew I was.
Only child. Just kidding, Jamie. Just kidding.
And someone said something and I turned around. Like, they just, like, they said a term and I turned around. They said it to someone else, but I turned around because I was in the room. And immediately the girl apologized because this bitch knew that I was probably going to report her to the dean. But I've somewhat experienced things. I had a principal in high school who was Black, and someone drew a swastika for some reason on our handball court. And he brought us all to the auditorium, and I went to a really diverse high school. Like, thankfully I did. And he basically explained how this is not just offensive to the Jewish students and staff here at the school. This is offensive to every single person in this room. And here's why. And just the fact that he like did that, like some kids were in tears and so upset over it who weren't Jewish. But swastika is not just offensive to Jews. It's offensive to pretty much every single person.
Yeah.
So
it's so important that he did that, Jamie. I love that you said that the teacher, the principal, the dean, you said that had done that at the time.
The principal did it. Yeah. Yeah. So, and he had gotten, I'm sure, I think he had experienced racism in his life. I never really experienced, to be frank, like anti-Semitism said to me, because I tried to respect my friends and other and people. I just tried to help them understand, if anything. So, but yeah, like it's something I'm very hyper aware of. I purposely don't wear a Star of David because, you know, even though I live in New York, like who knows if I, but I, yeah, I don't wear like Jewish stars or anything anymore because I don't know if it's really safe for me to wear that kind of religious stuff anymore. So yeah, it's something I'm hyper aware of, even in New York where most Jews are, like New York and LA probably have like the biggest Jewish populations in cities. So yeah.
Yeah.
Another reason why I considered moving to LA, because I knew if I moved there, I would be fine.
Yeah. I think also it's interesting how, I mean, so you're not the only person, like I said, the only friend of mine, like I said, I know who is very, you know, very, you know, proud of the religion and very much, I'm saying, part of the Jewish community. And the fact that they, too, I know, have like thought about where they would, that's why I think they have lived where they have lived or spent their life by choice because of possibly like a safety aspect almost, or like a belonging portion, which.
Yeah. I've never been to the South. Like I've been to Florida, but I've never been to really any other. I'm Virginia, but that's about it. Yeah.
Virginia. Nice.
Never really.
But even still, that's important. I think that, like I said, for me personally, religion never comes into play when I'm trying to figure out a decision or a move. And it's like, it's just like, it's good to be aware, guys, the fact that, you know, everyone has different things that kind of like contribute to where they locate themselves and how they feel about their personal life and what they choose to do with their time too, because of that too. It's crazy how it kind of like overflows in different parts and ways we live.
Yeah. And like you said, how it changes as you grow up.
Yes. Like I said, definitely. I told you. I mean, also, I guess a little minor thing to wrap it up, I guess, before we get into our favorites. But Jimmy, last thing I know, because you mentioned before about how your parents want you to marry someone Jewish. You said you personally also want to marry someone within your religion too?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so. That's important to me.
Because that,
and if they're not Jewish, I would want them to at least, you know, I there was someone we went to FIT with who married someone who's not Jewish, and she said my children will have bar bat mitzvahs and not baptisms. Like she was very set on the fact that their children would be Jewish, whether basically he liked it or not. So if I met someone who wasn't Jewish, like my uncle is not Jewish, but my cousin was raised Jewish, like he probably knows more than most people from taking my cousin to synagogue and things. So I would need them to be okay with that. But that's how I want to raise my children, if I had children. But also just the fact that I, you know, these, like Passover is an important holiday, and there are certain traditions that I love. I like live on Jewish deli, basically. I also make jokes that if you weren't Jewish, you probably wouldn't understand them. But yeah, that's important to me. So, but yeah, it's just, if they're Jewish, I hate to say it, it's just easier.
No, but hey, that's totally fair. No, I was wondering, I'm saying, because I know I've asked you before, obviously off the pod, but like I'm saying, because again, how I've dated, I guess, 3 Jewish men at this point. Fun fact. I think. Yeah, I've liked a lot more, and I've been like in cahoots with a lot more, but I think I've dated 3. I just, you know, I love anyone. I just love humans. You know what I mean? It's like, if that happens to the religion, that's cool beans. But yeah, like I said, I don't think for me personally, like going up the age and down the line in life, like if I meet someone, their religion doesn't come into play unless it's a big deal to them that I'm Catholic. I'm saying, you know, it's not definitely a deal breaker to me. Like if there's something else to a certain degree, depending on, like, you know, their general beliefs and kind of values and who they are as a person, of course, matters more to me than essentially like what they chose to kind of choose as their, or continue to choose as what their beliefs are.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll go into our favorites thing, guys. Hope you enjoyed the episode, guys. You want to do a little bit of a different funky thing today.
Yeah.
I'm happy we did, Jimmy. I like this, guys. Hopefully you can relate, guys. If not, if you're none of the 2 religions that Jamie and I mentioned, guys, let us know. I'm curious to know, obviously, like what maybe you've experienced with your beliefs and upbringing too. Let us know. Always curious to hear that type of information. That's really fascinating.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I'm just editing my favorites list. There's one I was going to wait till next week, but I'm going to mention this episode because I think it's appropriate.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
Okay. Hey, dude, stop. Do you have a ton? I just have a couple. Okay, so friends, fun fact. I think mine, are almost all. Oh man, okay. Yes, actually, friends, I'm giving you a fully stocked favorite list from Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay.
You're welcome. But yes, I frequent there a lot for different reasons, but also it's local and they have a lot of fun seasonal things, friends. So passing this along. Okay. I don't think I've mentioned any of these before on the pod, Jamie, so get pumped. Okay, friends, first thing. A lot of these in the show notes, you guys, probably not be linked. Maybe I'll just like kind of mention the title of the product because they can be found at your local Trader Joe's and I don't believe they're found online. Okay, first one. I want to give a shout out to the spiced chai black tea concentrate from Trader Joe's. I'm not sure, Jenny, if you tried this. I don't think I know you're a crazy chai
Not
tea
really a chai
person.
person.
You're not? I love chai. I have eyed this product, guys, for a while. It's in this really cute little bottle. It actually serves like 4 to 6 servings, it says. Yes, it has a solid amount of sugar, so this is why I do not constantly buy it and I don't have it anymore. I drank one of the whole thing and I loved it, but I was just pouring maybe like 2 ounces or so of the chai concentrate into my mason jar, and then I added in whatever milk I had on hand. I happen to have, I think, a coconut almond blend, and you mix it all together. It makes a very tasty chai tea, friends. Everyone's different. For me, I've never lived on chai. I used to live on green tea, ice green tea in college, but I've always loved dirty chais, and especially working at, I mentioned before in previous episodes, working at espresso coffee shop bar places in the city and here in Burlington, and just it's always kind of been a side little go-to for me. It's great, guys, for an easy access at home, especially when working from home, and to save some money because chai can be very expensive when you buy it, in different coffee shops or cafes. So it's a solid option from Trader Joe's. Like I said, it says spiced black tea or spiced chai. It's not spicy, guys. It has a little bit more, I guess, of like the maybe like what is it, the Assam, like the ginger and black tea kind of mixture and cardamom, but it's just very good. It's so smooth. Like I said, it has a lot of sugar in it, so just be aware how much you put in, but you kind of, you mix how much you want, the balance of milk to concentrate. And I'm a big favorite fan, and I put off it for a while, so I'm happy to share that it was very good and well worth the wait. Also, they have a newer product at Trader Joe's also, Jimmy, that I think I mentioned to you, but if you guys check the freezer, the frozen foods area, a lot of great stuff there, obviously. However, you have to be aware for any frozen food, friends. Obviously, a lot of sodium can be in things, Always do what you got to do, but I'm not trying to make this a health lesson, just in general, It's tough because a lot of foods in general in our diet have a lot of sodium. That can cause, guys, a lot of inflammation. It could cause some heart disease problems and cause a lot of other internal issues depending on your certain conditions. So just be mindful. And the fun fact is, you need also quick and easy meals because who has time to spend 10 hours on dinner? No one does. Unless you're crock potting all day, then it's easy. But a fun thing to share is, as we know, cauliflower has been booming since mid last year. Who knows what? It's been a big trend for a while. Trader Joe's has near a lot of their kind of different like international kind of foods and meals they have in that section of the frozen area. They have a riced cauliflower bowl, which I love it, friends. So, like I said, it's not crazy with sodium. There's a good amount of protein in it, actually. I think a decent amount of iron, fun fact. Again, depends on what you like to eat. There's a lot of vegetables in there, guys, and actually the ingredients are tofu, sweet potatoes, tahini. Tahini, guys, essentially is just crushed chickpeas. And I've used tahini from Trader Joe's, actually, the tahini that is sold there, to make these really great cookies that are really fun. Side note, not my recipe, but very good. But it's just a kind of like a little dressing, Jamie. I think it's kind of like a Mediterranean style thing, with the inner or like a Middle Eastern, I feel like, kind of flavoring there, which is super nice. Like I said, tahini, there's actually chickpeas in there too, and there's onions. It's very good, guys. It just literally goes in the microwave. Friends, the frozen meal, and it's healthy and it tastes delicious. So, wanted to share. I think it's not super new, but I had not tried it until recently. The rice cauliflower bowl. And also, guys, it's kind of like essentially cauliflower is kind of like the new rice substitute. It doesn't essentially taste, if anyone's like, oh, I don't like cauliflower, it tastes like rice. Don't worry about it. It just literally has like a base to the vegetables. It's fantastic, and also I love it. You can always add your own sauces. I have some people that I know like to add their own sauce to it, but it tastes great as it is to me. And my third favorite here at the Trader Joe's, guys, I'm bringing out all the favorite stops today. I like their tofu. So, guys, I used to never make my own tofu. I'm not a tofu freak. Obviously, I eat meat, guys. I try to do more plant-based if I can. But also, I've liked to get tofu in the past. Usually, when I get maybe like. There's a place I mentioned before near FIT called Kobayaki. I always loved there. Really good kind of like Asian medley bowls. I usually get, with like chicken in it or whatnot. But they had a tofu option. I tried it once and I was obsessed because the way they bake it, so good, or cook it, however they do it. So I tried cooking my own tofu. People make their own, which is beyond my skill level. But Trader Joe's has some really easy, guys, prepared baked tofu. And the baked teriyaki tofu is one of my favorites. It's in like the deli, not deli, but kind of like where the meats are, Eric. I guess it depends on your store. It's kind of changed at my store, but it's like a small little packet. And like I said, it basically, it's tofu. It's already kind of like, it's ready to eat. However, like obviously I heat it up in a pan and I cook it. So it's all, you know, browned up and nice and toasted there. I did a really fun, you guys, like with a breakfast scramble with it too. Throw some tofu, get some extra nutrients in there too. It's great, guys. Their teriyaki flavor is a big favorite of mine. And also their sriracha one's very fun too and not too crazy spicy. So I wanted to share that. And then one more thing, I guess, from Trader Joe's, just because while we're on a little like kick there, a little Valentine's Day special, guys, which actually is already sold out at my store, fun fact, but it didn't last long. There were some amazing Valentine's Day special heart ice cream macaroons, Jamie. They were really good. They had vanilla and strawberry flavor, guys. I got some. My sister and I had them, and they didn't even make it like 20 minutes. It was like, you know, Jamie, where the ice cream is and stuff in the freezer area? Like, it's so cute. They have, I think, macaroons, guys, there, to my knowledge, the majority of the year. But they had limited edition Valentine's Day ones, which, check your stores. I'm not sure which is still available. Ours are all gone now, unfortunately. Until next year, I think. They're little heart-shaped macaroons, but they're ice cream, guys. So it's like a really small little heart, but it's really good. Maybe it's like neutral kind of size of your palm. But it's like really small and cute. And there's like six. So there's like three strawberry, three vanilla. They're fantastic, friends. And I wanted to give a shout out because, you know what? Why not have some fun little festive goods for yourself and get them while you can? So I want to share that. Beyond the fact that also Trader Joe's keeps getting new different plants and flowers, and they're really great, friends. So if you need some sunshine in your house or apartment or garage or anywhere you have a chat out of, I'm kidding, but I'm serious. They're really cute and cheap, affordable plants that are pretty solid. So as well as flowers. So I wanted to share that because they had a really cute new one in the other day. It's like a rose gold pot, Jamie, with different succulents in it. And I'm like, stop it. I have no space for this. It's just cute to look at. So you can get everything you need there. So there's some fun items, guys. And I wanted to share that. That's my favorites today, Jamie.
All right. Mine. Okay. So since we were talking about religion on this episode, I discovered a YouTube channel called Fundy Fridays. So this woman talks about fundamentalism and people like the Duggars, the Plath family, you know, these like super religious people and why they're like that. She talks more about like the bad stuff, unfortunately. But she gives you background and kind of a better understanding of who these people are and why they are the way they are. I have been fascinated by it. Some of her videos are almost an hour long, but she even talked about this woman, Abby Shapiro, who is Jewish, but like there's some like issues with her beliefs and things that she brings up about women. And it's really interesting. It's really interesting and really informative. And I'm fascinated by some of her videos, like especially the Plath family. Like I've watched their show on TV, but I didn't really know what the, like why they never let their kids like watch TV and all of this and why their kids have now especially their older kids basically resent the parents quite a bit. So this helped me learn why.
Jamie, is it, you said the Plath, is it Plathville? Plathville?
Yeah. So, you know, Welcome to Plathville. Okay. So
Meme watches that show, Jamie. It's the only reason why I know about it. And she was so heartbroken that the kid broke up with his girlfriend.
Oh.
Side note.
Well, their oldest son and his wife don't talk to the parents anymore.
I never watched the show. I don't know about this.
So the mom, like this woman basically talks about how the mom kind of like emotionally abuses her children, essentially. And I say a lot. Sorry, guys. So she goes through the whole backstory and leads up to why the older kids have essentially left and why they are now seeing all the destructive things their parents have done. It's really interesting. And because I guess they were religious, but they're really not. So she talks about the Duggars was really fascinating because the Duggars are interesting people.
Jamie, my family all watches that show. My mom, oh, man. And my sister. They watch all that TLC stuff.
They are real interesting. So she does like a very, very in-depth stuff. And it's very interesting. I don't know if maybe she was raised in a fundamentalist society and that's why she like talks about it a lot. She also does her, like the thing is, her name is Jen and she does it as she does her makeup. And then I don't know if it's her boyfriend or her roommate. I think his name is James. James comes on and does talking, and James is actually a social worker. So he also, he kind of adds into how these things can be destructive and whatnot. Like he said, Olivia from Platteville, the, I forgot which, I think Ethan is the son she's married to.
I think so. There's one of them like that named.
Yeah. It. And he said like the way she diffuses situations between the family, like she should be a social worker. He said she just has like a knack for it. And just the way she handles herself, like kind of putting herself in the middle, but also, you know, just it's really fascinating. If you guys want to learn about really weird things, I highly recommend it. So we'll link it below, of course, Fundy Fridays. And then I have two other random favorites. I found, if you guys follow social media, the gluten-free Oreos have officially come out. So exciting. My local grocery store had them. The only place I could find them was Walmart online, but my local grocery store had them. And now they're almost sold out because I think people jumped on the bandwagon. They are probably the best I've had. I know I've mentioned Glutino before. I told Krista, I tried the Trader Joe's gluten-free Oreos and they are so bad that I still have the box in my cabinet and I'm just going to give them to my dad to pick through. They're not good. They're not good at all. The cookie was awful. It literally crumbles. It's bad.
The texture. I feel like, Jimmy, texture is so huge for gluten-free products.
It is. And it didn't taste good either. Oof. To say it. But
it's unfortunate, man.
Actual gluten-free Oreos, good job, Nabisco. Good job. Great job. Highly, highly recommend. They are more expensive, and I believe the package is smaller, unfortunately, but they are worth it.
Well, also, Jimmy, isn't Nabisco the original brand that owns Oreo anyways?
Yeah, that's why I shouted them out.
Yeah, but I'm saying they would have the best gluten-free option, I feel like, right? Because they know Oreo.
I would hope they do it well, because there are some brands that don't make great gluten-free versions of stuff, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, and then the last thing I want to mention, okay, it's an expensive product, but okay, with work from home, I don't wear makeup anymore. But I always try and do my hair because I have curly hair and I don't know how to tame my hair. I've tried, but I get joy out of blow drying my hair and flat and straightening it. And I realized I never talked about I've recommended the double shot tool for blow drying my hair. But if you guys need a really good flat iron, you want to shell out some money, a GHD flat iron is so good. GHD actually stands for good hair day. And I say that because so they use a lot of technology in their products so that your hair doesn't get damaged. And I have used I've been flat ironing my hair since I was 11 years old. I've used cheap flat irons, Revlon. I've used cheap and expensive ones. And this is probably one of the best ones. My hair never looks fried. It never feels fried. There's never any smoke coming out from my hair from products or anything. They're really pretty flat irons. They tend to be very metallic and I have a really pretty pink one, but I just think their products are so good. And if you want a good flat iron, I think it's definitely worth it to look into GHD ones and invest in one, especially, you know, we're probably gonna be working from home more and you're probably gonna be on more video calls. I just feel like I look a lot more presentable because when I put my hair up in a bun, I have so many flyaways. It's like, I don't know how to tame it and it just looks worse. It looks so bad to me. Like when I'm on calls with my coworkers, even though I'm in like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, I just feel like I look like a disaster. So I always do my hair and I also get enjoyment out of doing my hair. It's just easier for me to handle. But yeah, GHD flat irons, I highly recommend. So I'll find one to link below. But I mean, they're like $150. But let me tell you something, it's worth it. And they last a very long time.
Jimmy, that's not even that bad though. When you think about it, because guys, if it's something that you use multiple times a week, if not every day, and it's a quality product and it's not going to damage the actual nature of your hair, then dude, that's still not that bad.
Yeah, I think they're actually a British company. And I remember in London, they did have GHD salons because they make other hair tools. They're kind of similar to T3, but I just happen to have it. I have a T3 curling iron and I have a T3 hair dryer and they're fine, but I just find my hair always feels good after I use the GHD product. So, and it's a good size too. I think they're 1-inch straighteners that they make, or maybe a little bit smaller, but they're good size. And if you have curly hair, they do the job.
But also, Jamie, I feel like 150 isn't bad for a straightener when I don't – I personally, guys, never straighten my own hair. I've had to straighten a couple times. I am shit when it comes to hair. Like, I don't take – I take care of my hair, yes, but, yeah, I always have it up, which I know is not helping as bad because it pulls on the strands of the hair too. So, like, I'm aware. But you know what? I can't help it. It depends on the job. But they try to do some low ponies, but usually only Fridays my hairs are down. Anyways, but Jamie, I feel like also some expensive hair tools are, like, a lot more than that. So I feel like that's decent, dude. That's also why I feel like it's a solid price.
Yeah, the Dyson flat iron is $500, I'm pretty sure.
That's what I'm saying, which is insane. That's a lot, dude. And also, you invest in it if it's worth it to you. You know what I mean? And, like, your hair's a big deal. Especially, like you said, if you're on calls a lot, guys, and that's part of your job, then especially if it helps make you feel better, too, about your day kind of thing, you know, and how you look, especially if you're only being shown, like, from armpits up kind
yeah,
of thing.
No, it really does. Like, the beginning of last week, I was on some calls, and I was like, oh, my God, I look like a disaster. Like, I need to do my hair.
Hey, the problem is also when I shower at night, Jamie, you know what I mean? And then it's like when I shower at night, and if my hair, like last night, like I don't always blow dry before I go to bed because like air drying it's also like good to not always dry it every day. But the thing is, if I don't blow dry and I go to bed, it's a little bit wet, then it's like extra, like, you know what I mean? Which is like extra frizzy and stuff for translation. But which is not ideal either. But I mean, I'm just like, depends what I have going on in that day.
Yeah.
So. Important friends. We hope you enjoyed, you guys, another episode.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Every Tuesday morning we upload, so listen to us wherever you get your podcasts and make sure to follow us at omg.pod on Instagram. And we have some new posts coming. We did put up some new posts. We're going to share some more on our stories. And yeah.
And the key is, you guys, we have a new logo.
Oh, yeah, we have a new logo.
Jamie Design, guys, a super awesome new logo. It's so fun. Get excited. It's same OMG stop. Rejuvenate it, basically. It's beautiful and it's so poppy and fun, and I love it, Jamie. So yeah, stay tuned, guys, for that. Keep an eye out because it's already updated on I think Instagram, Jamie, everywhere else too. It should be updated.
Yeah, I updated everywhere else. Yeah.
So guys, pay attention to our logo because we're fresh and we're funky and it's here. So pay attention and give us some love.
Yeah.
So thank you, friends. I'm Krista.
I'm Jamie. See you next time.